Morning, everyone. Today's off in Yevamos Daf Kuftes Zayin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship. The Daf will be learned by Zecha Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmoor. We started yesterday. Sorry, it's getting better. We started yesterday the new perek. We are in Isha Shalom, 15th perek of the Masechta. We're returning back to a topic which was primarily the 10th perek of the Masechta, and that is credibility of the death of a husband, so that the wife can now go ahead and remarry. In the 10th parak, we were talking about the credibility that's afforded to one witness, Eid Echad, who normally in halacha does not have credibility, but in the for the purposes of allowing a woman to remarry and that she does not remain in Aguna, so one witness is believed. Our parak is talking about the woman herself. Woman and her husband go away on a trip, and she comes back by herself and she testifies that her husband died. So under the right circumstances, she's believed. What exactly do I mean under the right circumstances? So the Mishnah says that in order for the wife herself to be afforded credibility, there has to be shalom, there has to be peace. Two levels of peace. There has to be peace beino beina, between her and her husband. And there has to be peace, shalom ba'olam. There also has to be peace in the world. Why does that have to be? So that beinu levena, that we understand. If there's katata, if there's fighting between the husband and wife, she's going to come back and she's going to bring a report. And she's going to say, look, my husband died. He didn't die, but she doesn't care much for him. So she'll say it. But beinu shalom ba'olam, why do I need peace in the world? So we explained yesterday, because if there's, if the location, we don't, sorry. No, it's there. It's just, you know, it needs to come out. No, I'm good. Thank you so much. What does it mean, shalom ba'olam? Why shalom ba'olam so important? So it's important because, as we explained yesterday in the Gemara, it's important because if it's not shalom in the place that they go to, so then the problem is going to be that they're going to go to a particular place. It's crazy. It's war torn. He got shot. He got stabbed. He got something. She didn't actually see the death, but it's crazy over here. She somehow got out of it, and she's going to leap to an assumption. The assumption is that her husband died, and so as a result of that, she's going to make an assumption that her husband died, and she's going to testify about his death, even though he didn't actually die. So therefore, we need shalom in order for her to be believed. We need shalom beinu levena, and we need shalom ba'olam. That is what
we have the same assumption with beinu levena. I mean, publicly they may look good, but privately,
right? So we discussed.
Never know.
Correct. No. Of course, we never know. We discussed yesterday. That was Gemara's first point yesterday. That our default assumption is going to be is that there's shalom beinu levena, and also there's shalom ba'olam. Meaning, we're not, without knowing any more information, we're going to assume that everything's okay between them, and we're going to assume that the place they went to was war torn. If the only time we're not going to assume that is if we have positive information to the contrary. That's what the Gemara said yesterday. Okay. Good. Gemara yesterday that we went through had a couple of discussions. One discussion we had in the Gemara yesterday was, what if the place they went to did not have a chazakah of being a war-torn area? And she comes back and she says, I have two points of information. One, the place we went to is war-torn. Two, my husband died. So now she is the one providing the information that the area they went to there was war and there was discord over there. So does she believe there? So that was one question the Gemara asked yesterday, leaving that question unresolved. And the next question the Gemara asked is, what about Eid Echad? Let's go back to our discussion of Eid Echad. Let's say one witness comes and testifies that the husband dies, which again, normally we afford credibility to that one witness, but the Gemara wants to know, what if one witness testifies, but in an area where there was war? Right? Right, when one witness testifies in a war torn area, so just like she, the wife, is not afforded credibility, are we going to say the same thing about that one witness? That's a question that we raised yesterday. We are in the middle of answering that question. We're in the very bottom of Kuftes Vavav Ben Aleph Tashma, and we are going to now address that question. The Gemara says, "Ma'aseh b'shnei tamid chacham." And there was a story with two tamid chacham shayubaim im abe Yosi ben Shimai b'sfina, who were traveling on a boat together with Yosi ben Shimai v'tava v'hisi Rabbi Neshosam apinashim, and they drowned. And the two tamid chachamim and Rabbi. And Rebbe allowed them to remarry, the wives to remarry, based on apinashim, based on the testimony of women. The Gemara says, now, let's look at this from a halachic standpoint. As far as the halach is concerned, when you drown in water, and not just any water, but an ocean, we're going to be more specific about that later on in the parak. But when you die in water, that's like milchama, meaning it's crazy. It's a crazy scenario. And it will cause people to leap to assumptions about death, even though they didn't actually see the death itself. And as far as women testifying, so even if you have a group of women testifying halachically, it's no better than one witness testifying. So again, let's now put these two pieces of information together. Rebbe allowed the wives to remarry based on the testimony of women. What did the women see? The women saw people drowning as the boat was going down, and somehow they survived. So Mayim is like Milchama in that people will leap to assumptions, and the women's testimony is like one witness. And Rebbe accepted that testimony. So what do you see? That Eid Echad by Milchama, we're just, you know, doing a little bit of a conversion, but Eid Echad by Milchama works. That's what it would seem to be. The Tizbro, the Gemara says, now, I'm not sure if I'm totally buying the connection. Maim Shein Lam Sof, Ninu, Maim Shein Lam Sof, Ishto Asura. So the Gemara says, this is Maim Shein Lam Sof. You're going to hear that term a lot throughout this parak. What does that mean, Maim Shein Lam Sof? You can take a look at Rashi right over here. Right, you're in a boat, and you look around, and you don't see any land mass on any side around you. The couple years ago, I took my family to the southwest corner of the state, and we took a boat out. I captained a boat. Yeah, that's funny. I captained a boat, but I took a boat out to the Gulf of Mexico, and there was one point in time where, like, I was looking around, and there was no land mass, and I'm like, I'm not. This is not for me. So yeah, Maim Shein Lam Sof. So when you're talking about Maim Shein Lam Sof, Ishto Asura. It does not matter if there's any testimony whatsoever. The wife is always going to be Asur. Take a look at the next Rashi, the last Rashi in the Amud. Rashi writes, Alpha Pishi Yeshedim Ksherim Shetava Shemot Saf Mitachas Amay V'Yatsa. You don't know what's happening in a large mass of water. You see somebody go down, but that doesn't mean he drowned. In other words, it could be that he went down over here, but he came up somewhere else. So it's a total unknown. Even if witnesses were to come and testify and say, hey, we saw the man go down in an ocean, that doesn't mean that he necessarily drowned. And so that is something which is undeterminable. So, Hechidami, the Amre, Askinu Kaman, the Chazinu, La Alta Vekamri Simanim. So, I'm sorry, Simanim Dalu Alaihu Samchinan. So the Gemara says that the case over here has to be a little bit more specific, and that is that what they testified is that we saw them go down. We also saw them come up, and on their bodies there were some telltale signs, simanim, that we saw, and that is what we're relying on. We're not relying on just simply the sight, the visual sight of them going down into the water, but actually the bodies were recovered and there were simanim on the body. So the Gemara says, some ela asimanim haugava de ikvid. I'm sorry. The lava layu samchinan ala simanim. Sorry. Okay, let me read the Gemara correctly. So we're not really relying on them, but we're rather relying on the simanim, and that is what is affording us the opportunity to testify. Okay, the big discussion. You can see Tosis over here, second Tosis on the Amud. To what degree do we use simanim? Do we use telltale signs in order of identification? The Gemara in Bab Mitzvah, Tosis quotes it over here, has a general discussion whether simanim is a Daraisa concept or it's a Darabanan concept. Certainly seems from our discussion over here, it's a Daraisa concept because we're allowing the wives to remarry based on the identification of the simanim. Okay, anyway. That is the that's the case over here. So once again, we're no longer left answering the question of Eid Echa by Mechama, whether one witness can testify in a war-torn area. Is this testimony going to work? The Gemara leaves right now the question unresolved. Okay. In the Gemara right now, Abu Gavra, we were on the topic of Simonim. The Gemara is going to go on a tangent. The Gemara tells a story. Abu Gavra dik fit shum shemi gabe chavre. A person deposited a barrel of sesame seeds by his friend. So he goes over to his friend and he says, okay, give me back my barrel of sesame seed. So the friend says, I'm really sorry, I don't know how to explain this to you, but I'll try. You took it back already. Okay? You're right, you did give it to me to watch. I was a shomer, I watched it, and then you came back and you took it. So the Gemara says, V'ha'chin v'chin havyan, uvechavisa ramyan. So the guy, the owner of the sesame seed barrel, says, I don't understand. I gave it to you to watch, and now that I give it to you to watch, but we put it inside one of your barrels to watch, and he's pointing to the barrel of sesame seeds, and he says, that's mine. So the shomer says, look, I'm really sorry. You took yours back. Yes, it's true there are sesame seeds in the barrel, but you took yours back. These are my sesame seeds. So, Savar Rav Chisla Meim Rainu Shnei Tamidei Chachamim V'lo Arminan Hanachaz Lama V'Hani Achrinan Inu. So, Rav Chisla says, okay, let's make a comparison. Let's be medame. And this case over here is similar to the case of the Shnei Tamidei Chachamim, where what happened? They went and they drowned, and their bodies came up, and we assume that two bodies went down, two bodies came up. It's the same. So the Gemara says same thing over here. Sesame seeds, if I gave you sesame seeds to watch, and you agree that I gave you the sesame seeds to watch, and they're in the barrel, so let's just assume that it's the same sesame seeds that I gave you. So Amalei Rava, me dummies. Rava says, okay, but it's not a good comparison. Hasim kamri siman emacha, shim shimei mai siman yisle. Okay, so he says, look, it's not, how can we compare? When the bodies came up from the water, so we not only testified that we saw two bodies come up from the water, but there were simonim, there were telltale signs on the body. A mark, a mole, right, whatever. There were telltale signs on the body that they were identifying in order to show that this was in fact the body that drowned. Over here, we're talking about sesame seeds. Sesame seeds are indistinguishable. And the dekamar came to chen havyan. Now, what about the fact that the owner said, this is how much sesame seeds there were? Meaning he actually guessed the correct volume of sesame seeds. Amar chushban es ramei. So he says, okay, but that doesn't mean anything. He looked over, he saw the barrel of sesame seeds, and he took a good guess, a wonderful guess in terms of how much it was. And it could very well be that, like, many things are sold by particular weight, by particular volume. So maybe he just simply guessed right, because that was the standard amount of sesame seeds that were generally transferred or deposited. So Amalei Mar Kashisha Bar Rav Chisla Rav Ashi Umichayshin and Shema Pinan. So the Gemara says, fine. I'm sorry. So Rava, before I read on. So Rava basically says the two cases are not comparable. You can't compare identifying a body using simanim to sesame seeds, which are just simply unidentifiable. And the fact that he guessed correctly the amount, Gemara says that's not significant. That does not identify him as being the owner. Okay, the Gemara is going to now attack this issue from a different perspective, and that is, again, what was the Shomer's response? His response was, "Is I gave you back your sesame seeds, and these sesame seeds in the same barrel are now new sesame seeds." So the Gemara says, "Is that a legitimate argument?" That's the Gemara's question. So Amalei Mar Kashisha Bar Rav Chisla Rav Ashi Umichay Shirin Shama Pinan. Do we really concern ourselves with this? Vatana, we learned in the Mishnah. Mishnah of Meister Sheni, fourth parak, Matzah Kli V'Kosav Aleihem Kuf. If I find a utensil, and on the utensil it's labeled, and the label is Kuf, that means carbon. That means the contents of that Kli is a carbon, or the money of that Kli is a carbon. So Meister, Mem Meister, if there's a Mem on it, that indicates that's Meister. Dalas Damua. If there's a Dalas on it, that means that's Dimua. What's Dimua? Truma and Chulin getting mixed together. Bittul only occurs when there's a ratio of 100 to 1. Here there's a less than the ratio of that. When Chulin and Truma gets mixed up together, what is that? It's called Truma and Chulin getting mixed up together. Non-Kohanim can't eat it. Can only be eaten by Kohanim. It's going to be sold to Kohanim at obviously a very discounted price. Tes Tevel, if the container is marked with a test, that means that it's Tevel, untithed produce. Tav Truma, and if it's marked with a Tav, so then it's a Truma. Shebishas HaSakana, how you kosher in Tav Tachas Truma. And during a time of Sakana, they used to mark everything with a tuf to indicate that it's truma. Why would they do that? If you take a look at Rashi, he writes Shagazru Shalola Kayim Mitzvos. There was a gzeira not to observe mitzvos, and so therefore you can't just simply say that it's truma. So therefore you marked it with a one letter reference so that hopefully no one would know. Anyway, the point that the Gemara is making by quoting this Mishnah is that when you see a container and it's marked, so what do we assume? The contents of the container are the original contents. And no one took it out, no one replaced it with anything else. And that's generally an assumption that we make. It's what we would call an halacha chazaka. So, same thing over here regarding the barrel of sesame seeds. Can't we make that same chazaka? So the Gemara says, okay, before making your point totally, let's read on in that Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, and look at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, Amar Afilu Matzah Chavetz V'Kasuv V'Alei Truma. Rabbi Yossi says, let's say you find a barrel, and what's written on the barrel? The actual word Truma, meaning not just letters, marking, you know, one letter markings, but actually the word Truma, Harei L'Chulin. So you know what? I'm not going to assume that that's Truma. In fact, I'll say that that's chulin. Shani Omer Ishtaket Hayamale Shuma Upina. Because Rav Yossi says, what I'm concerned about is that yes, at one point historically it was filled with truma, but then the owner took the truma out and replaced it with chulin. Okay, so now that we have the totality of the Mishnah, you saw the Mishnah from the beginning to end. So now the Gemara says, it's funny, you were trying to prove that people don't clear out the container. From the end of the Mishnah, it's pretty clear that people clear out the container. So the Gemara says, no, generally speaking, we do assume that people remove the contents of the container, replace it with something else. Generally speaking, containers are used and reused and recycled. And people use it for different items. Over here, however, the machlokis in that Mishnah Maaser Sheni revolves around the following. We put truma in the container. We marked it with a tuf, marked it with the word truma, we marked it. We took the truma out. Then what is generally, what's considered quote-unquote normal behavior? After you take the truma out, do you erase the tuf on the lid of the container? So the Tanna Kamma says, yeah, that's assumed general behavior. That you would take it out and then you would rub out the tuf. And therefore, the Tanna Kamma of that Mishnah is of the opinion, as long as the letter's still there, so then you can assume that that's the original content. That's the Tanna Kamma. Whereas, according to Rav Yehuda, what's his position? No, people don't erase. Why don't people erase? So he gives two explanations. Number one, because we are typically lazy. Okay. All right. We're forgetful. We're lazy. Or the other explanation, he says, is pan chashavke. Rashi explains. What that means is that you don't want anyone else to touch it. So you took the truma out. You put chulin inside, and then you're thinking to yourself, you know, I don't want anyone to touch this. You know what? I'll leave the label truma on it. Leaving the label truma on it, make sure that no one puts their hand into the cookie jar and takes a cookie, because who's going to eat a truma? Everyone will eat a cookie, but no one will eat a cookie if it's truma. So, as a means of protecting it, he'll leave it on. Okay, but the Gemara says, but generally speaking, based on this current understanding of the Mishnah Maaser Sheni, people do take out the contents of a container, replace it with others, and we go back to the original case where the Gemara got a little bit derailed from the topic of Eidos Isha, on the topic of the Shomer saying that he returned the sesame seeds. So his argument of, these are not your sesame seeds, these are my sesame seeds, is in fact a valid argument. Because the two people who fell off the boat and went into the water, so their bodies came up, and do we make the assumption that the bodies that fell off the boat are the same ones that we found? So, not a great comparison, but and that and just like the sesame seeds are, you know, the one and the same. And so the Gemara there said, no, in that case over there, Rabbi allowed them to allow the wives to remarry. But the Gemara noted, in that case over there, they actually found the bodies with simanim on the body. There were moles, markings on the body that clearly identified that these were the people who drowned. Sesame seeds are unidentifiable. Correct. Absolutely correct. Okay, we are in Kuftas Vav Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Let us continue. We are still going to stay a little bit off topic, and then we're going to come back and resume our discussion of Eidus Isha. Yitzchak Resh Galusa Bar Achte De Rabbi B'Yav Ka'azam Ekurta V'Las Pamya. Okay, a lot of strange things about the starting of the story. First of all, Yitzchak Resh Galusa, was he the actual Resh Galusa? Certainly not clear. From the context of the story, certainly does not seem like he was the actual Resh Galusa. That could just very well be his name. Traveling from what city? So, you know, my Aramaic is not great, but sounds like he was going from Cordova, which is a city in Spain, to Aspamia, which is generally how the Gemara refers to the country of Spain. So in other words, it sounds like he was traveling somewhere in the western part of Europe. Okay, so either way, they obviously the Gemara is going to make a specific point. V'shachiv, so he dies. So shachiv me'asam miyatzak reish kolus barach said the rabbi be'avakazam mikort tevelas banya, and they sent the following note back to her, back to his wife, and the note read that Yitzchak reish kolusa, the nephew of Rabibi, was going from Cordova to Spain. V'shachiv, and he died. Okay, so that was the information that was brought back. So Micha Ishin Latre Yitzchak Ola. So now the Gemara says that the note itself is believed, but the only thing left to question is maybe he was describing somebody else. Maybe there were two Yitzchak Resh Galusa's nephew of Rav Bibi. Okay, that's a lot of naming, and that's a lot of ways of identifying somebody. But the Gemara says, are we worried that maybe somebody else also shares that name? So Abaye Amri Chayshin, Rav Amar Lo Chayshin. So Abaye says, yes, we are worried, and Rav says, no, we're not. Amar Abaye Minya Minala, and the Gemara now brings proofs for either position. Da'u Gita Dishakich Minar Da. So Abaye says, look, I'll give you another episode where there was a get found in the city of Narda, V'kisiv B'tzad Klunya Masa, alongside the city of Kalunya, Ana Andrulinai, another strange name for the day, Narda Patir V'terichtiat Ponia Entity. So me Andrulinai, so I gave my wife a get. And the question was sent from the father of Shmuel to Rav Yehuda Nesia, the son of the grandson of Rav Yehuda Nasi. And what was his response? Go do an investigation. Meaning go out to the town of Narda and see if there's another person with that name. So if there is, so then that's a problem. If there isn't, so then the get's going to be a good get. So Rava says, don't take his answer so seriously. Meaning, if he was really worried about another person by that name, so his bedikah should go on the whole world. Why did he say go and do an examination? He just said that to be nice and respectful. So the Gemara says, Ela mishum kvodo d'avu d'shmul hu d'shalach. Avu d'shmul asked the question. When Rav Yehuda Nesia got the question, he didn't want to just dismiss. Right, sometimes you ask a Rav a question. It's not the smartest question in the world, but if it's a good Rav, so what he'll do is he'll nod his head and he'll say, oh, that's a good question. In other words, just to be respectful, just to be nice, to be respectful, meaning to give the person a courtesy and make him feel like, okay, good, that was good. So the Gemara says that's exactly what Rav Yehuda Nasiya was doing, just responding nicely, you know, oh, okay, fine, let's just do a, you know, just check out, make sure nobody's there. But from a halachic standpoint, we're not going to assume that two people share that same name from that same town. So Hacham Rava. So So the Gemara says, okay, now we go back to Rava's position. So again, the case started with a report about somebody's death, Yitzchak Resh Galusa's death. Question was, are we concerned that maybe it was referring to somebody else sharing the same name? So Abaye says, yes, we are concerned. Rava says, no, we're not concerned. And now the Gemara is going to bring a support for Rava, and the support goes like this. There were two notes, IOUs, that were found in the town of Mechuza, because and on one note it says Chavi Bar Nanai, and on the other note it says Nanai Bar Chavi. Okay, so, you know, you do that sometimes. Sometimes you get the basic name right, but you mix up the first name, the last name, his first name, his second name. Okay, so here, the mix-up was between the father and the son. And the case came in front of Rava Bar Avua, and he said, collectible. Notes are good, notes are collectible. And that same person can collect both notes, even though on one of the documents, the name got a little bit mixed up, but it's fine. He said, it's not a problem. Now the Gemara says, now that's a popular name. In Arda, a lot of people go by that name. And meanwhile, he felt that the note was collectible. So what do you say? What do you see over here? You see that in the case of note collection, as long as your name is on the note, so we don't automatically assume, hey, this note may belong to somebody else who shares the same name. So the Gemara says, similarly, if you have a report that a certain person died and the person was identified by name, so Rava says, we do not assume that it's somebody else, we assume that it's her husband. Okay. Rashi points out over here, the comparison is a little bit of a stretch. Why? Because in the case of notes, what are we talking about? The collection of money. Or, as we say categorically, mamonos. In our discussion, what are we talking about? The permission of a wife to remarry about the death of her husband. That's iser. What do we normally say? We don't compare mamon and iser. And in terms of halacha, they are categorically two different categories. And just because we're going to make an assumption by one, we're not going to necessarily make an assumption by another. If you take a look at the last Rashi in Kuftas Vavam and Aleph, Kuftas Vavam and Beis, so Rashi notes that it's a issue, but Rashi just simply acknowledges it's an issue, but we could do it. I'll read the Rashi inside. Shchichi tuva v'afil hachi magbinen kishemotzi shtarachov al acherim v'lo cheshin shem acher haya. So, Rashi just simply explains that we're not concerned that this note may in fact belong to anybody else. V'kevan de le'inyan mamona, and Rashi writes, as far as money's concerned, afagav de'huchzeku, look, the Gemara acknowledges there are other people by that name. But it's okay. In other words, we can assume that the person who goes by that name, it's his rightful note. Lo chayshinan le'inyan isura, what we're talking about, which is the allowance of the wife to remarry, ki lo huchzika mi'a lo chayshinan. Here, says Rashi, it's even better. Meaning, it's a better scenario because nobody else goes by the name of Yitzhak Resh Galusa. It's a very unusual name. It's an uncommon name. Traveling from Cordova to Spain, so therefore Rashi says, in such a situation, for sure we could be lenient. You see what Rashi does? Meaning Rashi's recognizing, we're making the leap from Mamon to Isser, but Rashi says, but it's an acceptable leap. Because in the case of Mamon, even when we know about other people with that name, we don't concern ourselves whether it may belong to somebody else who shares the same name. Here by Isser, there's nobody else that goes by that name, so Rashi says, therefore, it's an acceptable leap. So Rashi's trying to make that leap from Mamon to Isser a little bit more plausible. Okay. V'abaye, now on the top of Kuf Zayin Ben Aleph, what's the Abaye going to counter? Remember, Abaye is of the opinion that we are worried that maybe it's identifying somebody else. L'mayinechushla, so Rabbi says, look, the case with the note and the IOU, so Abaye says, what are you worried about? The L'mayinechushla, Ilan Afila Mizazaribe, are you afraid that maybe the note fell from somebody else's, fell from his hands and picked up by somebody else with that same name? So Abaye says, we're not worried. When you have an IOU, when you have a note, somebody writes you a check, you try your best to hold the check. So it's not, yes, it's true, sometimes it falls, sometimes we lose it, but we try our best to be careful. So, Mizar Zayirbe. And Ila Pikadon, and what are you worried about? Maybe the lender asked somebody else to hold the check for him. Okay, so in other words, he asked somebody to be a shomer. So the Gemara says, Kevin Deshme Kishme Lo Mifked Gabe. Gemara says, look, we have, generally speaking, just enough common sense where we know that if I have a note of indebtedness, that I'm the lender, and I have the IOU, and it's written to me, and it has my name on it, I'm not going to, as a custodian, give it to somebody else who shares the same name. I have enough common sense where I'm not going to do that. So Mayamar Dilma Masale. So the Gemara says, and what are you worried about? Maybe you should be worried about that he transferred the document to somebody else. Okay, a transfer of a note. So the Gemara says, okay, and if he did that, It's fine. It works. Oh, it's Yos Nikto's Mimisira. So the Gemara says that when you transfer a note, so the collective collection ability is transferred as well. So Abaye says in that case, there simply is nothing to worry about. So, but I'm over here, where as far as the identification of the death of a woman's husband, where all we have is a name, so Abaye says, I'm concerned that maybe he's not the only one who has a name, maybe it was identifying somebody else with the same name, so Abaye says, I'm concerned. Okay, so the so again, a basic machlokes between Abaye and Rava about, are we worried about somebody else sharing the same name? Rava says generally we're not worried. Abaye says generally are worried. And then a question of what they do with similar cases. How gita dishakich besura v'ksiv behachi? There was a get found in the town of Sura, and here's what was written on the get. Besura masa in the town of Sura, ana anan barchia, mi anan barchia naharda, pechiv v'tarach t'ploni entity. I divorced my wife. Ubatka rabbanim yisur v'naharda, v'lo hava anan barchia, achrina labar mi anan barchia mechagra. The rabbis did an investigation. They found one anan barchia, and he was from the town of Chagra. The hava ben arda, at the time he happened to have been in arda. So in other words, it checks out. The asu sahadev amar da uyuma ki echtav haugita anan barchia mechagra gaban. And they went to the witnesses and they said, you know, when you wrote the get, so who's the anan barchia that you wrote the get for? So they said it was anan barchia mechagra. Amar abai afli didida amin acheshin and hachalo acheshin. Now abai says, look, I'm generally worried that maybe the name is identifying somebody else with that same name, but over here I'm not worried. Because we have witnesses who say that this person was in the town of Narda. My bai besura. So so Rava says, look, my position is I'm generally not worried, but over here I would be worried in this particular case. Because over here, even though the witnesses testified that this person was here, but maybe there was another Anan Bar Chanan who was here as well. The Gemara says, Dilma Begamala Parchazal, maybe he was going on flying camels. The Gemara does not mean literally flying camels. The Gemara just simply means that there was some sort of fast travel. Inami Bikfitza, or he jumped. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi over here says, using Shem Hashem, but again, the Gemara just simply is, it's a little bit of a guzma. The Gemara is just simply telling us that it's very possible that he traveled from place to place. Inami, Mili Masar, or maybe over here, he wasn't present at the time of the get, but maybe he just simply gave instructions to write a get. Kedamalu Rav Lasafre, Vechenamalu Rav Huna Lasafre, Rav and Rav Huna, when they instructed their Sofrim to write Gittin, they said, Ki Isnu Bishili, Ksiva Bishili. Make sure you Sofrim, when you're writing a get in Shili, you identify the place where you're writing the get. Afagav de Misra, even though you were instructed to write the get while you were in the town of Hini, but you write the name of the place where you actually are. And the opposite would be true as well. Meaning, make sure to write the get where you actually are. So the Gemara says, so Rav and Abaye in that case over there may not take their normal position. The Gemara says, okay. That was a long digression, but as long as we were in that digression, can we go back to the case of the sesame seeds? What's the conclusion over there? So Rav Yemer Amar Lo Chayshinan, Rav Amar Chayshinan, Mehilchas Chayshinan. So the Gemara brings a Machlokas Amarayim, and the Gemara's conclusion is Chayshinan. We are concerned that these sesame seeds are not the original sesame seeds, but they were replaced by others, and so therefore, when the owner comes along and says, "Hey, give me back my sesame seeds," they're right there. And the shomer and the custodian says, I gave you back your sesame seeds, and these are others. So the custodian is in fact believed, because we do concern ourselves with the fact that people use and reuse utensils. Okay. Okay. The... Yes, correct. Okay, the katata beino leveino. Okay, and now we go back to our parak and we go back to our discussion. Okay, well, what did we say back in our Mishnah? We said that if there was fighting between him and her, so that takes away her credibility. She comes back after being on a trip, and she comes back without her husband, and she says, my husband died. So because they were fighting, so we don't assume that she's being forthright. So the Gemara says, katata beino leveino, echidami katata beino leveino. So, the Gemara says, just let's go over examples. Meaning, there's what's called normal discord between a husband and wife. And then there's you know, a halachic level where we're worried that she's not going to be forthright. So the Gemara says we were talking about not the normal discord, we're talking about where it becomes a major concern, where she actually loses her credibility. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, but Omeris Labala Garshini. So the Gemara says, where she says to the husband, okay, enough already. I need out of this. This is it's just getting too much. So Kulanami Amruhachi. So the Gemara says, okay, just in case you're wondering what's considered normal, the Gemara says that's normal. That's that kind of that kind of bantering between husband and wife is normal. So Ella ba Omer Slabala Girashtani. So the Gemara says, well, she says to the husband, not that she wants a divorce, but she says something a lot bolder. You already divorced me. So the Gemara says, Vilahemna. The Gemara says, interesting little couple lines coming up now in the Gemara. Well, why don't we believe her when she says that? So the Gemara says, Midrav Hamnuna, Damarav Hamnuna, Isha Sharma Labala, Girashini, Neman, Eschazaka, Isha, Me'iza Paneh Bifne Ba'ala. If a woman in front of people says, you know, you divorced me, and the husband doesn't respond, so she is believed. Generally speaking, you're going to see this a lot throughout.
Silence.
Right. Throughout Bab Metzia. In other words, we generally speaking have a cap to the amount of chutzpah that we have. I know it doesn't seem that way. I know it seems like there is no cap to the amount of chutzpah that we have. But the Gemara's assumption is the amount of chutzpah that we have is capped. If you make an outlandish comment or an outlandish remark and it goes unresponded to, the general assumption is he's telling the truth or she's telling the truth. If she says to the husband, "You divorced me," and he doesn't say anything, it's because she's telling the truth.
What about the get documents? She has to produce that.
Right now she's claiming that you wrote it, I lost it. But in other words, if she had the get document, then she wouldn't have to say anything. She just hold it up. Right. But over here, for whatever reason, she doesn't have the get document, but she says you divorced me. Again, in this particular case where she is actually, the husband's right there, they're face to face, and she says you divorced me, so Rav Amnon says she's believed. So
chazuk is only for a woman, though, not for the man.
No.
And the man would not have the chutzpah to say something. That's what it says. Chazuka.
Okay, good. All right, you want. That's fine. You're dear. No, I understand. Your dear may be right. Okay. So, but Almeres Gereshteni Bifnei Ploni Uploni, Vishilna VaAmar Lo Hayud Dvar Me'olam. So the Gemara says, well, in this particular case we're talking about, well, she does make the claim, but the claim is not supported by witnesses. She says, "I divorced you in front of so and so and so and so." She actually identifies who the witnesses are. Oh, okay, so then Beis Din did a little bit of due diligence. They turned to the witness and says, "Is this true? Can you corroborate?" And they said, "No, we can't." So in that case, Vishilna VaAmar Lo Hayud Dvar Me'olam, but. Okay, so she's not divorced, but that's the kind of discord that we're talking about. Meaning that's the level of instability of marriage where she's making these outlandish claims and she's saying, "You divorced me." Where in that case, now they go away on a trip and she comes back and she says, "Now my husband died." So then under those circumstances, she is not believed. My time of the katata. The Gemara says, okay, now we try to give some sort of sense of the degree of discord between the husband and wife, but the Gemara says, what's the reason why? Now, I've been saying since the Mishnah, the reason is because we don't believe her. But the Gemara is going to look at this and analyze it more specifically. The Gemara says, Rav Chanina, Amar Mishum de Mishakra. Rav Chanina says, we're outright worried that she's going to lie. Meaning, her hatred for her husband is such, the animosity between the two of them is so high that she's going to come back and she's just going to make up a story. She didn't even see, it wasn't even a suspicion that maybe he died. She's just outright lying. That's one way to look at it. And Rav Shimi Barashi Amra Mishum de Amra Bididami. And Rav Shimi Barashi says, no, it's not. No, we don't assume that she's going to go to that degree. We'll just assume that he trips, he falls, he got sick, right? And she assumed that he died. And again, the reason why she's going to leap to such an assumption is because she wasn't that particularly fond of him to begin with. My Beinayah, the Gemara says now that there's a gap between these two ways of explaining it. And with every halachic gap, there's going to be a nafkamina. I mean, if it's a good halachic gap. So with every halachic gap, there's a nafkamina. There's going to be a practical difference. And Gemara says, over here, there would be as well. Let's say there was discord between the husband and wife, but let's say it was primarily him. meaning he was starting up with her. And he was the one who was instigating. So, which means basically, she liked him. I don't know what there was to like about that. But in other words, from her standpoint, she didn't want out. So the Rashi points out over here. Rashi over here is not explaining this nafkamina. So if he's the one that's instigating, but she doesn't particularly want out from it, so we're not going to go to the degree and assume that she's lying. But if you know he got sick, or if he you know got stabbed, or whatever you know whatever the circumstances were, will she leap to an assumption? Yeah, maybe she'll leap to an assumption. Okay, ibay lahu, eidecha b'ketata mahu. Back to a question which is really sounding very similar to a question that we asked earlier this morning. We started off the daf today by asking Eidecha b'machama. It's really a very similar question. Eidecha b'ketata means that they're fighting, and again, a very serious level of fighting, the one that was described in the bottom of the previous amud, and they go away, or no, I'm sorry, let's not even say it. He goes away, and one witness reports that he dies. Do we believe the one witness in a scenario where she and her husband were in a serious discord with one another? So, very similar to the question that we asked earlier, and the analysis is going to be nearly identical. The Gemara says, "My time data, Chad Me'eman." Why do we believe one witness? Mishum Demilsa David Alegluy Lo Meshaker. Is it because one witness in this particular case is given super credibility because the one witness is his testimony is going to be validated one way or another? Meaning, either he's not going to come back and he was telling the truth, or he is going to come back and the witness is going to be proved to be lie. So that level of veracity is therefore given to one witness. Hachanami lamashakir. So here too, he's not going to lie. Or maybe the real credibility of one witness is that it'll promote the wife to do her due diligence and do an investigation. But over here, however, the wife is not interested whatsoever in doing any type of investigation. She and her husband are not getting along. There is very serious discord between the two of them, and therefore she won't do a proper investigation. Take the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Second time we're hearing this question in the second day in a row, and that is, what's behind the credibility of one witness? Is it that he's given extra credibility, right, super credibility, if you will? That's one way to look at it. Or the other way to look at it is, no, is that really the credibility is on her? It falls on her shoulders. Isha daiko mitzvah, and the nafkamina would be in this particular case where there's discord between the husband and wife, and the one witness is reporting that the husband died. Okay. That's why the first Mishnah told us that the only time that she's going to be believed is when there's no discord. And again, we'll assume, the Gemara says, we're assuming that there's no discord, unless we know otherwise. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar La'olam, Eino Tanya. Amar Lola Rav Yehuda, Dvarecha, Pikachas, Tinase, Shota, Lo Tinase, Ela Achazu, Vachazu, Tinase. The opinion of Rav Yehuda, which the Gemara now is giving us a brisa, giving us a little more dialogue between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. The opinion of Rav Yehuda is that when a woman comes back, so she's got to be dramatic. She's got to have her clothing torn. She's got to be crying. And the Chachamim, in the dialogue, the Chachamim said to Rav Yehuda, no, come on, that's not necessary. So that means then that a woman is only going to be allowed to remarry only if she's smart. And she knows like how to present herself. But if the woman's not that smart, or she's not that emotional, so then you're not going to permit her, meaning you're making the halacha very subjective and very, very dependent on her emotions and on her reactions. So the Chacham said, Rav Yehuda, we cannot tolerate your position. Hahida Asya, Gemara is going to tell a story, it's an unbelievable story. Hahida Asya lebedina de Rav Yehuda. So a woman was going to the court of Rav Yehuda. Now remember, Rav Yehuda, in order for him to believe the wife, is going to need to see some tears and some emotion. Amri La, so they say to her, meaning a group of concerned members of the Beis Din, who know Rav Yehuda's position. So Amri La, Sifti Baalech, Kiri Manech. So he says, you know, can we coach you up a little bit? What you need to do is you need to eulogize a little bit. You need to tear your clothing, sastri mazriach, you know, dishevel yourself. So alfua shikra. So the Gemara says, what are they doing? They're teaching her how to lie? Meaning, that's crazy. What just happened over here? So, inu k'rabbanan tzvir lehu. So the Gemara says, no. And by the way, when I say no, I mean really yes. But no, they're not teaching her how to lie. They are really holding like the Chachamim. They don't need the emotion, the tearing of the clothing, the crying. Meaning, just her coming in and saying that her husband died is sufficient grounds to allow her to remarry. We'll believe her. But she knows, they know that she's about to step into the court of Rabbi Yehuda. And they know what Rabbi Yehuda wants and demands in terms of the halacha. So they're coaching her up to satisfy the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but they themselves really feel that it's not necessary.
Why are you going to them and going to
Rabbi Yehuda? Right, right. I guess, again, I don't know enough details about this case, but I guess there's no other court currently available. Or maybe that's, I don't know.
It's closer?
I don't know. The question is valid. I just don't have enough information to give a... But anyway, I see the smile on everyone's face. So obviously, you know, it's a little bit funny that, you know, they know that Rabbi Yehuda is taking a position that's just a little bit more machmir, and they're helping her with her, you know, presenting the case and presenting the shayla. So I understand. It's, you know, it allows room for a little bit of cynicism, but I try to avoid it. Huh? Okay, right, correct. And what kind of application then does this have for others as well?
Right, you know, which means that if you have a shayla, somebody should go to this. Ask this rob and not this one because he's...
Right, or if you know they're going to ask... Right. If you know that they're going to go to this rob and you know that this rob requires this, right. So can you coach them up? I mean, the Gemara tells a story. The Gemara doesn't balk. The Gemara doesn't... That is not offended by the story. I mean, okay, inu k'rabban tzvirlu. Amitavid hachikeh delishrei. And they said, this is how you're going to do it, so that he'll allow you to remarry. Okay. Let's stop. Okay, we'll start tomorrow fresh with a new Mishnah. Okay, I'll start with a Mishnah, but then I'm just going to have to stop in the middle. And tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah on Kuf Tzayin Amud Beis.